Hi there, guys. Nice to see you. Nice small intimate audience. So we're here to speak about how we deployed Microsoft Office within Microsoft. Okay. It's a bit of a dramatic head in, but this is product marketing when they get involved. The way I describe it is we deployed Microsoft Office within Microsoft like this. So we're going to share some of our best practices and walk you through some of the lessons we learned as we deployed Office. My name's Steve Ray. I've been with Microsoft now for 22 years. I'm in various roles. My current role is in a team called Client First and Best, and our team work with the product engineering teams as early as their alpha designs on new products, and then we give them feedback as IT pros. We're the first IT shop to deploy or manage any of their products. So again, we'd like to think that we're representing you when we're dealing with them and telling them this isn't going to work, or this will work, or could you put this new option in, or this new governance policy. I have with me today my colleague, Jeannie Riley, who give a quick introduction as to her role in the team.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Riley, and I've been with Microsoft about 6 months. I joined from Amazon, and I'm a principal support engineer, and I run our supportability team. So my team is responsible for gathering feedback and understanding the user experience and bringing that insight and information to our engineering teams, as well as Steve, in terms of how we're going to run the service.
Okay, so this is obviously a 20-minute session. As you can imagine, this was an 18-month project for us, and we're going to speak in 20 minutes. So we will take questions at the end, and this is our last session of the event, so you'll find us for the remainder around the IT Showcase booth. Happy to talk about anything else in depth. The first thing I wanted to go through quickly is just to give you an overview of our environment within Microsoft. Quite often when I speak to customers, they think that we're very special. You know, we're all developers, and we're not like their enterprises. That probably was the case. When I joined in 94, there was 500 people in the UK, which is where I'm based, and there's 4,500 now. They were very technical, most people. They'd self-support any issues they'd have. Nowadays, we've got John in marketing, who's hired because he's good at marketing, Jane in finance because she's good at finance. So we have the same diverse set of technical skills we have to cater for. As you can see, 114,000 employees, and we're spread over a very wide geographic area, and obviously a lot of languages of our products that we have to deal with. Over 200,000 active Office clients. The majority of those are running 365 Pro Plus, the 2016 version. Again, thank product marketing for that long mouthful. We still have a few of the older clients because obviously we're supporting customers and we're developing solutions if you're in Microsoft Services. So there's still business need for some people to be on the older versions. As I said, there's a variety of technical skills within the company, and with that comes a tolerance for change. We have early adopters, which I'll get onto a little bit later, called Microsoft Elite. We used to call these dog fooders internally to describe the pleasure of using software when it wasn't stable enough to use and it was crashing all over the place. We now call them Elite, makes them feel special, and they're less likely to complain. All the way down to people that don't want any impact. So they're the ones that we deploy to very last. We'd have to make sure it's super stable before we go to them, and we're very thoughtful about the frequency of change that we deliver to them. Empowered users. Unlike any large, well, I'd like to think unlike most large enterprises, the majority of our users are admins on their own machine. With that comes a lot of control. They can install, yeah, I know, shocking. They can install what they want. They can configure their machines how they want. So they are managed, but in I guess, a lighter touch than some enterprises. We have a rapid release of software within the company, and I'll get onto that as well. If you look at Office 365 updates outside the company, and I'll touch on channel management a bit later, you're looking at one update a month normally. For us internally, we can see 4 to 6 updates per month for some users, depending on the update channel they're on, because we're deploying software before it's release quality. If we find an issue, we get that fixed by the engineering teams, then we have to deploy it again to validate. So we see quite a rapid cycle of updates. Feature time is a challenge for us because we deploy it before it's actually going to be deployed to the marketplace. Our marketing team haven't created any content, and quite often a feature will appear on my machine I didn't expect to appear that month. So we have to work very closely with the engineering teams to be predictable about what we're going to land on clients' machines and how they're going to use that functionality. And then finally, engineering insights. One of the key value props of my team specifically is ensuring that we're giving the feedback both as IT pros to the engineering teams, but we're also facilitating automated feedback through telemetry, which Jeannie will touch on. If we don't catch the issues, obviously that's the worst state we could be in, because then it could potentially release out into the world with a bug in it. So this is absolutely the strategic value that we add to the engineering teams. So now I'm going to step you through, and again, like I say, this is a very quick walkthrough of how we deployed. The first step to any of our deployments in Microsoft, be it Office, Windows, or anything else, is testing for application compatibility. To do this, we've got an embedded test team within my organization. They're embedded within our organization versus out in the line of business teams, because it enables us to test on a monthly basis, sometimes weekly if we need to, the top applications that we think could be at risk. So for Office, I think we have something like 2,500 line of business applications at Microsoft in general. The ones that have Office dependencies are around 160 that we class as tier one or tier two. And when we go down to the really critical ones, the ones based on the number of seats installed or the criticality of the app, like revenue supporting, we get down to 20 apps. Those are the ones that we can test very frequently on a weekly basis or monthly basis. Then we have a broader quarterly test that we do with the line of business teams, where we have hundreds of line of business testers around the company that will then work with us. We've made that easy for them over the last 18 months because we've moved to a virtual machine solution. So they just log in and all the builds have been configured for them. They just do their tests and then submit their reports. It's key for us to understand our environment because it's ever changing. So we use System Center Configuration Manager, probably our cornerstone for this, just to enable us to know what versions of Office people have got, what languages they've got, what version of Windows, et cetera, et cetera. This enables us then to plan how we're going to deploy it. For us internally, because English as a second language is a requirement in most roles at Microsoft, surprisingly, I think around 92% of all installs are in English. So it quickly enabled us to see that it wasn't worth us making 15 language variants of our deployment package when there's only maybe two. I think I had two people running a certain language and another five over there. So it enabled us to streamline who we were going to deploy to. Obviously, user readiness is of paramount importance, especially when you're moving to 365, because there's going to be new features coming down at a faster clip than before. You had 3 years before to prepare all your user readiness and training. We've moved to a very agile model now. We have a team called IT Marketing and Communications, and they've helped create something called readiness guides, or productivity guides. These are freely available on the IT Showcase site. They're publicly available to you to use. And they've been created around end-to-end scenarios like finding information or collaborating on documents. And then it touches the various components and technologies that a user can use to be able to deliver on those workloads. We also created a very rich communications plan. Some users need more information before a change is made to them than others. And we also have, like I say, this elite audience. So they have a specific feedback process we ask them to go through so that we can get their feedback quickly. If we just had them call in help desk, it would probably get lost in the actual noise that we get from other users. And Jeannie will touch on that. In terms of packaging and deploying, for us, because we're deploying before the product's shipped, there's quite often gaps in the documentation or no documentation. So it's reliant on me knowing Jefferson in the product group or someone else, and then using Notepad to create the XML files. So if you've had any experience deploying this, you'll know that just one character wrong, it all breaks and it takes ages to troubleshoot. I'm going to quickly switch over, if it'll let me, and just show you some resources that are available now. So there's and again, this is going to be in the end link, aka.ms/office-scripts. The product groups since the release of Office have been churning out script after script to help automate a lot of the deployment and management of Office. So there's a ton of useful scripts up here to enable you to remove previous versions of Office, to create custom packages. But what I wanted to show you, given the limited time, is this thing here, the Office Click to Run Configuration XML Editor. It's a bit of a mouthful. Basically, what it enables you to do with dropdowns is to select exactly what you want to install, how you want to install it. Then it will create the XML file for you. You know there's no typos and it's going to work. And it's also got some good information in here. So this one here is just prompting you. When you're doing any deployment, always remember to go and download the latest Office Deployment Toolkit, ODT, because that changes every month. And you may find that you're troubleshooting an issue that you didn't need to because there was a newer version of the tool. So just close out of that quickly. So you can see here, you've got a blank canvas there. So it's Pro Plus I'm going to deploy. I'm going to do 64-bit. I'm going to leave it to English. I'm going to configure it to do the initial install in first release deferred channel, and I'll touch on that in a minute. I'm going to do add product. So it's populated all those values, ready to use now. Then you've got some additional fields you can turn on here. You go down to updates. You can then configure the updates. So on a monthly basis, it will get the first release deferred updates. So you enable that. Do save, and that adds that to the file as well. And so on and so on. So you can just do the display level. You can accept the EULA for the client. Once you've saved this, you can just export it, and you're ready to go. That's your deployment. The ODT and the XML, and you can start your deployment straight away. So it really does streamline getting up to speed when you want to start pushing Office out. I'll just go back to the slides. So Jeannie, do you want to come and give an overview of the listening channels that we use?
Yeah, so as Steve mentioned, we are running pre-release builds in our environment, and then we also have, and we're distributed across multiple channels. So we have to, and the product groups depend on us to give them fast and early feedback about the performance of the build before they deploy it more broadly. So we've had to develop fast listening mechanisms, and we use a couple of things. We have standard channels, such as help desk incidents. So we do still monitor the help desk incidents. We dive in, we try to look and understand what the patterns are and surface the issues, and we have good relationships with our help desk to accelerate getting certain types of incidents up to us more quickly, the supportability team. We also use Yammer, so we'll monitor Yammer, and we have pointers as well. So we have two kind of social media channels that we moderate, and again, we're looking for insight into how the product is operating. Sorry. I guess my mic wasn't on. Hopefully you could hear me anyway. I tend to be loud. So we also then use available telemetry from the Office Telemetry Dashboard and Configuration Manager. And we also work with our engineering teams really closely on the telemetry that they have access to work together to identify and surface and validate and repro issues that we see in the environment. So we use all those different types of listening channels to try to get faster and accelerated insight into how the build is performing in the environment so that we can remediate issues quickly.
Thank you, Jeannie. So that leads us on to the adjusters required. No matter how much testing we do, we're always going to, unfortunately, hit issues with our deployment. So we use these listening channels to react quickly. One such example that I'm not that super proud of is that we use Configuration Manager to push out the deployment. The reason we did this was we wanted a local install source for the clients, so it was predictable, and we could guarantee a very fast deployment in a matter of weeks, and it protected our network. So there's many reasons, many pros for doing it, and it's also a best practice. We created some custom scripts that would give users warnings that this package was coming and it was counting down because Configuration Manager didn't offer us the flexibility we needed. These scripts weren't working as we expected, so the users weren't seeing these warnings, and then all of a sudden, at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, it just took their Office apps, cut them off at the knees, and rebooted their machine and whatever else. So luckily we'd phased our deployment to the more risk-accepting users, but we did get some crisp feedback. We were able to very quickly change that package and then obviously start the deployment again. So listening channels are essential. And obviously for us now, listening channels have become indispensable because we're in this update model. So we need to catch those issues, as I said earlier, and feed that back to the product group. Can you just quick show of hands as to who understands or has heard of the channel updates for Office 365? Okay, so a few of you. Very confusing. The number of people that I work with in the Office team who each have their own slide to try and describe the different channels and what it means. I'll touch on it slightly. But before you start your deployment, I don't know why I put it down there, but before you start your deployment, you do need to think about the management of the channels and how you want to deploy updates to your users. And I'll get onto the breakdown we'd recommend. For us internally, we're heavily focused on deploying the fastest updates. So our users have the choppiest experience over any enterprise. Some of them maybe don't like getting as many updates as they do, but that's their job. They work at Microsoft. So we deployed different update channels for different users, and then we use group policies now and also DCM packages in Configuration Manager to ensure the right users are still configured on the right channels. if we had everyone suddenly switch to use, say, deferred channel, then we're not testing current channel, and we're going to, you know, let our customers down. And finally, we're in this perpetual test and deployment model now. Those three-year cycles are gone. My job now is like a three-year cycle every month or every 2 weeks. So we've just had to make everything super agile and lightweight so that we can move into this frequent update of features. So in terms of channel management, as I started off by saying, we are like every other enterprise. Now I'm saying we're not. The reason we're not like any other enterprise here is because Microsoft obviously sells Office to consumers and enterprises. Consumers get current channel and they get new features every month. We have to test that because there are millions of consumers out there of our products. So internally, we are pretty much heavily weighted towards the current channel. So we have our own internal current channel update because we're pushing out tons of updates that you guys wouldn't want to see. And within that, we have this elite audience of around 17,000, I think it is, people. These are guys that we would have called dog fooders before. So they're getting very, very frequent current channel updates and giving us feedback on those. As the builds go through these, what we call release rings, which are just audience segmentations within Microsoft, ring zero being the product group, ring one would be elite, ring two would be the current channel users, and then we'd get further out and further out. Once we're happy that the builds are solid, then the first release deferred users within the company will get that build, and then finally deferred channel users. And those builds are obviously less frequently updated, so one a month, I think. And they only get features. Both of those will only get new features every 4 months. So from a feature perspective, it's not changing things too frequently on the users. One challenge we face internally with this model is that people have different features. So you can be sat next to John, who's got this great new Skype feature, but you're not going to see it for 4 months because you've been selected to be on this other channel. So it's a balancing act with us because we don't want all our users on current channel. What we recommend in terms of preferred practices, as they call them now, is 1% of your organization should be current channel. These would be IT pros. These would be line of business application developers. But we'd also be looking for some early adopters to be in there, real business users that can give you that feedback. Another 10% would be what we class as first release deferred channel. So these are people that get deferred channel, but they get that 4 months before deferred channel's released. So that's a 4 month buffer to do your testing. And so that wider 10% will give you that early warning if there are any issues. And again, choose those users carefully. They have to be people that have got a tolerance for potential issues, but also they need to be part of your V team. They're giving you feedback on the new features and they're testing it against their applications. And then finally, the rest of your users, 89%, they would be on deferred channel, so they're going to get new features 4 months after the rest of your audience, and they're only going to see new features once every 4 months. Makes it predictable for you from an app compat perspective, but also from a user readiness perspective. If you do want to do classroom training or you have productivity guides, you have that long 4 month window in which to build the additions and make the changes based on the new functionality. So in terms of best practices, as we say, leverage early adopters within your company. They are the best resource you have over all of the proactive testing you do. It's invaluable to have this audience. You do need to build an effective support channel for them because getting real-time feedback from these users is critical. You don't want it lost in the noise of the help desk. They help with identifying application compatibility issues that you can't always test for. We all have shadow apps. I'm sure there's tons at Microsoft as well. Where someone's just created a macro and it's all of a sudden critical to a team. So they help identify those issues. And they also help us to develop our effective user awareness approach, because we may have thought that we've got a great communication plan, but when they start asking questions about how this feature works or this is now interrupted, this workflow, it enables us to build that into our comms plan. And they also help drive excitement and interest. Within Microsoft, people ignore our emails. They're fed up listening to Microsoft IT. We're actually banned from sending emails company-wide. We used to send them. They don't like that. It's too many emails. And now you've got these great features like clutter that just hide our mails anyway. So we have to be very targeted with our communications. But having people spread around the business to help drive that excitement when it lands is really powerful. In terms of the deployment approach, understanding your environment, as I say, through Configuration Manager or other management tools, and also testing the applications ahead of time can ensure very smooth deployment. You need to consider the bandwidth impact, not just for the deployment, but for the updates. Obviously, the deployment is your big payload, your 2 gigabytes, say, just for English. You want to use something that's going to distribute that close to your client, so you're protecting your network. But then you have to think about the ongoing update payloads. For us within Microsoft, we need to get the build out from the developer's desk to the user's machine as quickly as possible. So I don't put Configuration Manager in the middle. It's just another step. I actually have everyone inside Microsoft download updates directly from the content delivery network. But you can imagine we've got very fat firewalls and pipes within Microsoft, so bandwidth isn't a problem. For many enterprises, they may not want to do that, or they may not have the capacity. So there's various degrees of control you can use to bring updates down. You can put them on file shares. You can use Configuration Manager with some new functionality to deploy those updates. So there's a lot of control around how you can deploy updates within your company. Develop an update channel approach to best suit your needs. As I say, the preferred practice I just showed you is just one option. We have some enterprises that have gone all out with current channel, and they are pushing new features every month, which is great that they embrace the functionality that quickly. But you need to choose what's right for your company. And then finally, phase your deployment, especially the initial deployment, and utilize the listening channel so that you can pick up issues you may have missed. With that, we're going to be heading back in a little while to the IT Showcase booth. We've got a team called IT Showcase. Everything we deploy and manage at Microsoft, we then create technical white papers for, do webinars, create content. The productivity guides that we create and use inside the company are made publicly available. All of this is shared through what we call IT Showcase. They've done a great job just before the event to actually bundle up everything that we've created around Office 365 Pro Plus into one, what they're calling an Office Adoption Suite, which you can get from this shortcut. And again, these slides are all uploaded, so if you do miss the screenshots, you'll be able to grab the slides. There's also an IT Showcase app that runs on all of the platforms. This enables you to quickly search for any content they've created, whether you want to see how we've moved to Azure, whether you want to look at the SharePoint online migration we did 3 years ago, or anything like that. You can get all that from within this application or directly from the IT Showcase website. And here's just some links that I worked with the product marketing team and the engineering team that are going to be useful for you. Obviously, the top one's what I showed you. There's a ton of cool scripts up there. I was chatting to a chap on the way down here about one that we're working on with them at the moment that will enable a 64-bit install to go onto a machine, and it will smartly detect what 32-bit apps you've got, create the XML file you need on the fly, remove the 32-bit apps, and do the 64-bit. So they're working with us all the time, and they're great because they're all ears, and we just throw them these problems, and they build these solutions and then share them out here. Preferred practices, this is a fantastic resource that steps you through all of the stages to deploy. And there's a few others there. The community's very handy as well for the experts. If there's any questions, we'd be happy to take them. And we're also, like I say, going to be around the IT Showcase booth for the rest of the week. No, we don't have, I can't think of many instances of coexistence within the company, just because we try and force everyone on the latest just so they are using it. We did have originally, when we went to 2013, we enabled users to do the install themselves, so invariably we got into the position where some people had both. We do have ISO images, well, we have WDS images, so our Windows images that we then have OEMs put on our machines includes Office. So from the get-go, everyone gets deferred channel, because that's the slowest. And then a GPO will come and update them within an hour, and then they get an update prompt, and then they're on current channel if that's what we want them on.
Are there any updates coming out for the client? How are you going to push the updates for the client?
Every month, yeah. So this is the update channels we spoke about. So this is, again, product marketing make it really confusing. Office 365 Pro Plus is the subscription product. It's click to run, and you'll use these update channels. If you have Office 2016 Professional Plus, that's the MSI, the old school install. You still get updates every month, but they're only going to be critical fixes and security fixes. You're going to get no new features. Yep, and whenever another MSI product comes out, like the old three-year cycle, then you'd see new features potentially. But if you want constant innovation, which is why we recommend people move to 365 Pro Plus, because that is the innovation delivery model. Yeah. Similar problem when you've got people on deferred, not well, probably a bit more extreme, but when you've got people on deferred and current, then you have the same feature gap on a rolling basis. So yeah, you need to plan how you're going to have users understand what they can and can't do. Cool. For our testing, we're quite lightweight. We don't test everything to the nth degree. Like I say, we focused down on 160 apps, and then we got to, I think it was 40 critical ones and 160 in total. Now, I'm sure there were others outside of that, but then we rely on our support channels to tell us that something's on fire, and then we can go and rectify it, but we don't test every single add-in. We do use the telemetry dashboard to gain some insights. So if there's add-ins that are failing, we can then drill into that and see, is it the version of the add-in that's a problem? Is it crashing the application? Is it got a slow load time? So we can go and remediate from that. And if you haven't seen the Office Telemetry Dashboard, it's fantastic. It's free. And if you've got less than 100,000 machines, the SQL Server's free because you can use SQL Server Express. So outside of Configuration Manager and everything else, you've got this great resource you can use to gain some insights into your environment. But it's not a silver bullet. Product marketing might say it is, but you still need to plan application compatibility testing for the deeper insights. If you have 2013 or 2016, it's actually built into Office. You just need a GPO to turn it on and off. If you haven't, then it's a 200 kilobyte MSI. You deploy silently, and then a GPO turns it on, and then you can just start getting all this rich telemetry, but not from Germany or any other sensitive country. You have to plan your privacy, and there's a lot of options that you can use to turn down the level of telemetry in those countries. Yep. Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. How did you deal with beginning to click to run from the MSI?
We use, so on that GitHub, there's a set of scripts that remove Office surgically, just cleans Office off. It's better than doing an uninstall. It takes everything off. It can be done silently, yeah. It just, they've got guidance up there that tells you how to package it all. So you've got the removal script, then the install script, and it does it all silently. And you know that you've got a clean base you're starting from, then you can lay down, click to run. Cool. Thank you.